Oh, dear. I should have done this last night, really.
You have to make sure we're washing up something straight away, otherwise it gets smelly.
Can you open it, please?
Yeah, of course. Mm,
that'd be
all right. Yeah, really.
In a small space, you have to put things away all the time, otherwise it just gets too cluttered.
In the first part of the morning, we make our coffee, and if we've got enough time, we will treat ourselves to a bit of breakfast. But this morning, we are going to have some lovely crumpets. We've been in the van now for about 2.5 years?
Yeah, I think so.
It's about 2.5 years.
It's been quite a long time. We started with just a mattress, really.
Excuse me.
We were living in London, weren't we? The job share was you were working on the van, and whilst I went to work, and a lot of the time I get back and there'd be tools everywhere, which is the last thing you want after a stressful day at work, is this mess.
So that was
quite a difficult time. But we got through it, didn't we? So yeah, we used my income to pay for the bits that we needed, and Mark did the work, basically.
Every piece of furniture in this van has two functions, if not three. So this bench I'm sat upon at the moment, this contains all the water system. So we've got like an 80-litre water tank. We usually fill up our water when we go for a shower sometimes at the service station, so it's two birds with one stone.
There's showers at work as well that we can use, and also gym membership.
When we got back from the supermarket last night, we were talking to another fellow vanner, and he noticed by the end of our conversation this had gone completely flat. The other one's gone as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit sus.
Both tyres have gone.
I don't know, I like to think we just maybe ran over a bottle and then, or like some glass.
We're both teaching assistants, we work with autistic children, and we don't get paid an awful lot of money. Rent in Bristol for a one-bedroom flat, so not even talking about family size yet, we're looking at around 800. I take home, after tax, national insurance, etc., I take home £1,100. We are trying to save for a house. We want to start a family together, and you can't really afford to do that whilst renting. Leave the skylight open.
Oh no, I want the deodorant. You need to shower at work.
This is our last day of term. Very much looking forward to the summer holidays. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm just checking my solar before we leave. It's one of the things we have to check every single day, is our batteries.
I've lived in a mobile home for 15 years. Although the van is small, look out there. The country is big, my friend. Bigger than your house or your garden. My dog loves it. She's got a special bark for traffic wardens. And she's very protective and very good as a guard dog. She's also a great company because she's got quite a character. My wife and myself lived in a six-bedroom house in Dover, and I found life very boring. So we decided that I would show her Europe and the UK, and the only way to do that is on a mobile home. So we bought the mobile home. We couldn't really afford to travel and keep the house. You can imagine downsizing from a six-bedroom house into a nine-foot motorhome was quite interesting, because the money would go further living in a motorhome, obviously. I've got 5 solar panels on the roof. I've got a good battery system now, and that will see me well through the winter. That's the electricity taken care of. Gas, I go and get LPG 48-litre bottles. Wanted to go back to see her 2 children because although they're in their 20s now, one of them was not well at all, and then of course COVID came in, so she couldn't get back. I obviously miss her. So we're off to see the Wild West show, the elephant and the kangaroo.
Hi there, Cameron. How are you?
Good, sir. Good. Very good. You're looking very bright and sporty today.
Yeah, well, coffee. Black, no sugar, correct?
Black, no sugar, right.
So we'll fill you up. I'll just bring the hose pipe round, yeah?
Right, sir.
Okay.
The answer's yes. The answer's yes, Ian.
It's okay, we got it. Go. Right, we'll have that filled up in a minute. My wife actually found out about Cameron's position. Somebody said he needed some fresh water and we were more than happy to supply it to him.
But the best way to do it is just to wait until it overflows. The level indicator tells you when it's sort of 95% full, not 100% full.
I can understand why people would live in the vans, what with rental price. If there's no highway law to say that you can't park there, then people have the right to park there as long as they pay their road tax. So if they're living in the caravans or the camper vans, then no harm, no foul as far as I'm concerned.
Disparity between the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. But no question, that's accelerating now. It's not slowing down, it's accelerating. Electricity gets more expensive, water gets more expensive, rates get more expensive. Does the income catch up with that? No, it doesn't. So I'm sorry for the people who complain and say, oh, well, why are these people opting out of the system and not living in a house and paying all this money? But your own fault in the first place.
Issue with affordable housing for particularly younger people, and people are finding different ways, so they're not necessarily consider themselves homeless, but they'd consider themselves housed differently, which is why vehicle dwelling seems to be kind of on the increase. We're going over to St George's Park. We've got quite a few vehicle dwellers living on the side of the road.
I used to live in a Ford Transit, so I was kind of like, couldn't stand up straight and had a bed and just a kind of kitchen unit. So this is going to be amazing to have like a big table here for doing like art and work. I live in a van because I can't afford rent, but also for me it's like a political choice. It gives me time to do part-time work in the forest school that I work in. Mainly, my reasoning is I don't want to pay half my wage each month to rent. Don't really see the benefit in that.
You used to be able to look across the park and it used to be really nice to see, but now you can't see nothing but vans. That big red van out there, it's just an eyesore. Women down here nearly got run over, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to go in the middle of the road to see what's coming so you can pass. Noise?
Oh, don't go there.
But the other night with the music going until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, and it's not just the noise, it's the constant chatter. Last week, I was walking through the park and found somebody's washing on the line, stuck between tree to tree.
Oh, gosh, wonder where they wash that to.
I don't know.
Toilets, I expect.
The council should do something about it.
We just need to try and get them moved on.
Got lots of housing and we've got a very popular park. So what we as a council are trying to do is get the balance right between the needs of people living in the area and of course the van dwellers. So we're here today to let them know about the meanwhile sites, because they get that security of not being moved on, whereas that can be a hazard of living on the roadside. Hiya.
Hi.
Hi, I work for Bristol City Council.
Has anyone, any vehicle dweller you've ever spoken to, expressed a desire for these meanwhile sites? I know there have been plenty of surveys that I myself have filled in that said that we do not want council-run sites, that say we want community-run sites by the people who live in the vehicles. All the council will be knocking on your door if you stay here when you move to a meanwhile site, and that's actually not what we want.
What I said is that you don't have the threat of being potentially moved on if you're on a meanwhile site, and we don't force people to be on any of those sites. A meanwhile site would work in the same way as any other campsite, in that there are rules, but there is a charge to be on that site to actually cover the cost of those sites.
Do you understand that many of the people who choose to live in vans are in, you know, situations of poverty? Like, we're young people, we're trying to do things that don't, you know, bend to the capitalist, you know, system. And in doing so, we don't have much means. Yeah. £25...
It's £25 a week.
A week.
Yeah.
That's £100 a month, you know, and you're not offering a house, and you're still expecting to charge a rent from us. We're just trying to live, and we don't want to pay you.
On land that, as you said, is currently not being used by the council, so there can't be that much of an expense to you. Like, I don't want to be in a meanwhile site. I'm very happy, like, living in a park where I live with the community of residents and neighbours, and until the council get an injunction here, this is where I'm going to carry on living.
You know, the discussion we've just had there kind of goes along the lines of what I would expect. One of the things that we will do, taking forward from that conversation, is having more ownership, more community ownership in the process in designing meanwhile sites in the future.
Buy a van, they said. See the world, they said. I've got it on. Can you pass me the 6 bolts from the back? When we took the tyres off, I noticed that the inner tread on the front ones had gone. Which means we've actually got an underlying problem on the suspension.
Lovely.
Has that gone on all right?
Yeah, I'm just doing the last one.
We were really lucky. The tyres on the front, on the inner wall, had worn down to the steels. Luckily, this puncture, although it's cost £260, has actually saved our lives. Lidl's is amazing. We spent about £20 to £30 probably every 10 days, 2 weeks. And that's all, like, your little essentials. We do two different shops. We go to Lidl for our bulk, but for meats and treats, we tend to go to Waitrose.
We don't really eat much meat, but when we do, we make sure it gets
everything used.
So the chicken we make, I make stir fry, have sandwiches with it.
Then I'll make a stock and make a nice risotto out of it. So a £2 chicken, we'll get three meals out of that. And like a nice lunch as well. Because we are doing this to save money, so it's just everywhere. You just like you just save those pennies. A diesel heater, that's about £5 every 2 weeks in the winter, nothing in the summer. What else? Our electricity is from the sun, don't have to pay for that.
Lock the van.
I'm Millie and I've lived in my van for nearly 2 years now. The best bit about my van is being mobile. The worst bit is that everything that you do, you have to move stuff around. So this is my little shower platform. It's not like in a house where you want a shower, you just step in the shower. Here, you have to open a cupboard and get the shower curtain out and hang up the shower curtain. It's a whole procedure. So it's actually much more hard work than you imagined living in a van. And the whole thing folds out just like this to make a veranda. I live in my van because there's nowhere else for me to live. Let me give you a tour. Everything is made from second-hand materials or reclaimed materials, upcycling. The worktop is wood that is called Iroko. From Nigeria, it was a farmer's fence panels that we sanded and sanded to produce this beautiful smooth surface and then oiled it. The kitchen opted for a very big kitchen because I cook. I cook everything from fresh. I've quite happily lived, well, actually without income for 7 years, so no formal income, no benefits, no nothing. I would have to go on benefits to be housed. I'd have to go into the system, and I'm very reluctant to do that. I have emphysema, which is one of the illnesses under chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, so it's a lung condition. I'm not easily unnerved, but having a respiratory attack is really scary. It's a choking sensation. It makes you panic. And panicking itself makes you not breathe well. So, I cope with it. My bus runs on vegetable oil, which keeps me away from the fossil fuels. It burns cleaner. And when I reverse, I don't drive into my own nasty exhaust fumes, so it's better for my lungs. I've got room for some more vegetable oil, which will free up some storage space until I need to buy fresh oil. The bus smells of chip fat. Well, you know, people notice this, so it was like, whoa, that's an unusual smell. You have literally a trolley with, you know, 40 times 3 litres of vegetable oil, and people go, whoa, have you got a restaurant or something? And I go, no, it's my fuel. And they go, it's what? And then I point at my bus in the car park, and you know, and it gets conversations going, and it's nice. And it's nice explaining to people why you do this. So now I'm at 32 litres. Exactly, that's beautiful. I'm expecting my daughter, my youngest daughter, Marika, who lives and works here in Bristol. She's had a works do, it's her last day in a particular job. So I'm taking her home. Hello! Oh, you look lovely!
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
people always ask me about it. It's always something, you know, whenever I see my friends, they're always going, oh, how's your mom? Like, because I think everyone thinks it's really adventurous and exciting, which it is.
Yeah.
You know, when she's out on her own or she's sleeping kind of in the middle of nowhere, that can be quite scary to think about. But equally, she's a tough cookie. So she's always telling me not to worry. But I mean, I think it's human nature to worry, isn't it?
Oh, on the whole, I don't. I know I don't feel. Why would you feel more vulnerable in a bus than in a home?
Okay, private.
You know, if you have an intruder in your home, you're stranded. If somebody tries to get into your bus, you can drive away.
That's the roof with the rain. I like it when the wind gets up and the motorhome really shakes, I tell you. Chicken tikka masala with fragrant pinau rice. Pop it in the oven and be ready in 30 minutes. That's it, Bob's your uncle. A curry. Not bad. Not bad at all. Cheers, Cabernet Sauvignon. It's a very nice wine. I must say, Chile produces some very good wines now. I've been on the street for 2.5 years. I do need to stay near hospitals because I have prostate cancer, but it's in remission. The GP, when I went to see him, he said, well, why have you got this tremor in this hand? And I said, I don't know, I've had it for 5 years. He said, we think that you have Parkinson's. If it's Parkinson's, it's a very curious Parkinson's. It's been the same for 5-7 years. I suppose I could be called a serial entrepreneur. Batteries are going to be a big part of our life in the future.
It's quite busy today, isn't it? There's a lot of vans about.
Dave Turton, who's a good friend now, and myself decided to start this company. And he put it simply, he said, well, a lead-acid battery can when you can recharge 300 times. So if you're in a motorhome, it lasts maybe a year, year and a half at the most. A lithium battery, you can recharge 3,000 times. So you get much longer life, 10 times faster to charge.
There's a lot of electronics going on in there.
Yeah.
I honestly cannot fault the way it's been constructed.
I think the main thing is that it will give me the financial security that I don't have at the moment, allow me to buy a house for my wife for the long term, secure her future. Hopes and dreams for the near future. My dream is to get my wife back.
Hi, I'm Simon. How can I help?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Mark and Sarah. We just wanted to pick your brains, really, about house prices in the local area.
Okay. We've still got to get our university out of the way, haven't we?
Got to get university out of the way. But we want to live in a good area because of schools, because that's the whole leading point. But I guess what we'll do, we'll buy... just want to get on. So even if it's a studio flat, we're on the housing market.
That's what's bumped the price up. A lot of Londoners love it there because it's like Brixton, it's multicultural.
Yeah. This really is just getting an idea of the market and trying to pick an expert's brains, really, so we can get... I appreciate the market might change in a year or so, but you've got that regional knowledge that we don't
have. I can have a quick look for you now, possibly at Southfield, and see it's going to be probably a little bit out of your budget, but the odd house will pop up. Yeah. I've got the flat in St Michael's Hill. We've just had a price realignment that was on for 220 and it's come down for 210. Oh, it's got access to a communal garden.
Do you think having an outside space is important? Because I think going from a van to being in a flat,
no, but my thing is, can we afford it? A garden, to me, at this stage of our life, without children, is a luxury.
It's low maintenance.
There's lots of options there.
Sounds promising as well, doesn't it?
Nice, take care. Thanks, bye.
It was really reassuring. We've been doing this for 2-3 years now, and it's stressful at times, like especially in the winter. It's been really hard, and that just made it feel like it was all worth it.
So yeah, it's really exciting, isn't it? Like the options that are available to us.